Good morning.
Morning.
A recent contemporary song, How Deep the Father's Love, really conveys some of the sentiment of how much God loves us. I don't think we truly understand just how much God loves us. I think that sometimes we think that God is just a disciplinarian, that he's out to get us. But the truth of the matter is, how deep is that love if he sent his one and only son to be subjected to the type of torture and cruelty of the cross? His love must indeed be very great. If you'll turn with me to John chapter 16, starting with verse 25, this will be our core scripture this morning. We'll come back to this several times. John 16, 25 reads, "Though I have been speaking figuratively, a time is coming when I will no longer use this kind of language, but will tell you plainly about my Father. In that day you will ask in my name. I am not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. No, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father." Then Jesus' disciples said, "Now you are speaking clearly and without figures of speech. Now we can see that you know all things and that you do not even need to have anyone ask you questions. This makes us believe that you came from God." And Jesus says, "You believe at last." Now I wonder what it was like to sit at Jesus' feet from day to day and hearing the things that he would say and wondering, what does all of this mean? Because Jesus talked in very deep language at times, parables. He would speak in parables, often, especially to those who had difficulty believing. He challenged people's faith. Jesus would not have been a very good church growth advocate because he often drove people away more than he drew them to himself. And he had that magnetic appeal, but then sometimes he'd say something and people would be like, "Who can accept this teaching? This is too difficult." He really shook the status quo up. He shook people's perception of what God is and who he is and what he means to us. He shook the very foundations of the religious leaders. He changed everything. He did that to show the world who God really is and how deep and wonderful his love is and how great his grace is for those who don't believe it. I'll go back to that now, John 16. Let's look at just verse 25. There is a blindness we have to understand in the world. Jesus says, "Though I have been speaking figuratively, a time is coming when I will no longer use this kind of language," in other words, parables or other kinds of deep teaching, "but will tell you plainly about my Father." Now, who is that for? Who is he speaking to? Well, of course, to his inner group of disciples. But is he speaking to you as well? You know, there's something wondrous about the Word of God. If you hunger and thirst for it, more is revealed to you. Amen? The more you understand, the more you pursue Jesus Christ, the more that is opened up to you. It's an amazing book because it is both simple and complex. It astounds me. It has a simple message that you can be saved through Jesus Christ, and yet there are great complexities in this book that I don't know if I studied this in my entire life, I would comprehend everything. It is impossible. Because God wrote it. And God is wondrous. And God is both simple and complex to us. So he tells his own disciples, though you don't understand things now, there's coming a time, there will be a time when we will talk more directly. And that's a wonderful thing because sin divides, but God wants to draw us near. And the more we pursue God, the more things make sense. Amen. Sin distorts our perceptions of the Father. I mean, think about how many people have crossed your path and have just wrong perceptions of who God is and what he represents. He wants the world to know him. He wants all the world to come to repentance. But there's a lot of distorted teaching out there. There's a lot of unclear philosophy. There's a lot of things that just take away from the Father rather than show who he is. There's only one way to see who God truly is, and that's through Jesus Christ. There are things that are spiritually discerned. There are things that can only be known because you are a Christian. There are things that the world will never accept. So sin distorts our perceptions, but the blood of Jesus clears all that away. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. 1 John chapter 2, 1 John now, 1 John 2 verse 9 says this, anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him. Notice that darkness blinds. And notice we're talking in the context of brother to brother, Christian to Christian. There's a sense in which we can become dull as Christians when we allow sin to creep into our lives. Did you know that? Our perceptions of God can change. Things aren't as clear because we're allowing the world to distort what is true. And legalism can do that as well. When we start to think that God only accepts us based on a set of rules, we start to believe that God is a disciplinarian only, and his grace means nothing to us. But his grace, as he told Paul, is sufficient. It is more than enough. We cannot love the way God intended unless we pursue God the way God taught us to. We cannot add things to God. We cannot have a Jesus and philosophy where we try to tack other things on to Jesus. In other words, to be a good Christian, you have to be a Democrat, or to be a good Christian, you have to be a Republican. You have to be this or that or the other, or you're not truly a Christian. Now, it's true some people need a little help, I would say, as to what they believe, but I'm joking. Jesus never intended for us to teach a gospel and philosophy. We cannot add anything to the message. We cannot take anything away from the message. And boy, are the days ahead of us tumultuous, aren't they? Because there are things coming down the road right at us. But where will you be? Where will you stand? Is this the truth? Is this the truth that sets you free? Is this the truth that guarantees no matter what happens in this world, you have eternal life? Then don't be shaken, church, because Jesus has overcome the world, and he is coming back for his faithful. Do not worry. Do not worry about what the world does or what the world says, because we are taken care of. If the day comes when persecution is rampant in this country, stay strong, church, and stick together, because he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world, and we are one when we agree that this is the standard of our faith. We will not be shaken. We will not be moved, because the truth sets people free. But we cannot love, we cannot see, we cannot accept the Father's love in a pure manner unless we accept that this is the truth. We cannot say, well, I believe this, but I don't want to believe that. That's where the devil creeps in. That's where he gets a foothold, and he starts to take the truth away from us piece by piece. Because the Word of God stands alone. It doesn't need any defense. It doesn't need any help, because God is the truth. And you cannot get rid of the truth. The truth is the truth always. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, it says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Now, who blinds the world? It's not God. Who blinds the world? It's Satan. Satan wants to keep people from the truth. That's his whole entire agenda. That's his roster. That's his mission. That's his focus, to keep people blind so they're destroyed. It says in verse 5, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." God took the darkness away so we could have direct access to him. He wants with all of his heart for his people to commune with him and with each other. He loves us so deeply that he said, "I'm going to stay with you. I'm going to abide within you." I still don't understand that. When I see how I behave from day to day, I wonder, why would God want to live here? But he does. He knows our situation. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our problems. And he says, "I'm with you all the way to the end. I'm there. I am going to be faithful to you. Do all you can to be faithful to me." There's revelation that comes to Christians, that can only come to Christians, because the God of this age has blinded people's hearts. They cannot see the truth. All the things that are shoved down our children's throats that just are not right in the public school system. All the things that are shoved down people's throats through the media, through the TV, where we're conditioned to think a certain way. All the laws that are pushed down from the United Nations and who knows from where else, trying to force us to believe a certain way and to follow a certain philosophy. There is only one truth that sets us free. We will never be saved through government. Amen? There is only one Savior of the world, and his name is Jesus. And his truth sets us free. In John 16, let's go back there again, verse 25, Jesus says, "Though I have been speaking figuratively, a time is coming when I will no longer use this kind of language, but will tell you plainly about my Father." Jesus is saying, I'm going to give it to you straight. I'm not going to make things difficult to understand. Eventually, you're going to see things as they are. We will see him as he is. And everything will make sense in all completion someday, because we will stand in his glory and we ourselves glorified, our minds restored, everything about us alive, and we will see God alive and in all of his glory. And we will know, because just as he knows us, we will fully know the truth in all of its facets. In that day, you will ask in my name. I'm not saying I will ask the Father on your behalf. No, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. Now, it's really wonderful to know that Jesus is our advocate. He is our mediator. He is the one who sticks up for us. He is the one who hears our prayers. But Jesus wanted to make this point clear. He's saying everything is changing. And yes, I'm here for you, but the Father loves you so much, he'll hear you directly. He wanted us to understand there's no barrier any longer between us and the Father through Christ. He wanted us to understand you have access right to the Father because you loved me. Jesus wanted to pull all the stops so his people understand you are empowered. You have everything you need and much, much more. So we have direct access to God. As it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, as it is written, 1 Corinthians 2, 9, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who do what? Love him. Do you love God? Do you want to love him more? Do you want to love him a lot more? It says in verse 10, but God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. Notice that. The things we understand, the things we now comprehend, we know because God's Spirit lives within us. He reveals these things. He's the author of this book. He spoke through prophets and many different people so that we could understand who God is, what his intentions are, and that he is consistent and never changing. It says the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Isn't that an interesting thought? The Spirit is the mind of God. The Spirit himself searches and thinks and contemplates the deep things of God himself. He is the mind of God. In verse 11 it says, "For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him?" Isn't that true? Aren't you glad that people don't know everything that's going on in your mind? What would that be like? I mean, what if you really were, and I don't believe in this, what if you really were telepathic, okay? And someone could read your mind. Wouldn't that be terrible? We'd be exposed in an instant, wouldn't we? You mean you're like that? Well, I guess I'm like that too, you know? What would that be like? It'd be awful. But in terms of God's mind, everything is pure and perfect. In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the Spirit of the world. Do we understand this? We've received the very mind, the very thoughts, the very nature of God within us. How awesome is that? We've not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. Now we have the comprehension of God within us, who reveals to us things that we didn't understand before, who is committed to teach us and guide us and make us strong to stand for Christ. Verse 13, this is what we speak, not in words taught to us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit of God, in other words, does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. You see that? The world doesn't understand because they can't understand. They're blind. It says, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man, the man with the Spirit of God, or the woman with the Spirit of God, makes judgments about all things. But he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that it's God who judges you? And when God judges you, it's in terms of what Christ has done. It's in terms of what you do in his name so that he can reward you. That's God's judgment for you now, and his judgment in terms of what is true and what is not true concerning you, and what is true concerning you. You've been bought with a price. You've been redeemed. You've been washed. You've been made clean. You've been accepted. You've been adopted. You've been loved with a deeper love than any person on earth can love you. That's the truth. Verse 16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have it all, folks. We have everything now. We have God himself. What did we do to deserve that? What did we do to deserve the rich and wonderful love that the Father has lavished on us, as John has said? What did we do? Nothing. He is our creator. He created us, and therefore he loves us. It is his nature to love. It is his very nature. Do you think God loves to discipline? If you were ever a parent or you ever watched kids, yeah, there were days when you might have enjoyed it a little bit, but you knew most of the time this isn't a good thing. You'd rather not do it. Wouldn't you rather children understand without the discipline? But we understand discipline is good. And the only reason our Father would discipline us is because he loves us, because he cares about us, because he wants us to develop into true citizens of the kingdom of heaven. We have a privilege that the world doesn't have. In John 16, again, verse 27, Jesus nails it here. He says, the Father himself loves you. Jesus says, let me take away all doubt that your Father loves you. He loves you. Why does he love you? And by the way, the word for love here, it's not the agape love that we typically think about, you know, the unconditional, all-encompassing love. It is the word phileo, like in the word Philadelphia, brotherly love. This is the tight-knit inner family, brother-to-brother love. In other words, you're in. You're in. Yeah, this is specific love. And he's saying, the Father loves you. In other words, you're closer than others. You're closer in this way than other people are. The Father loves you a special way. Yes, he loves all people in an agape sense, but he loves you specifically. Why? Because you loved me. The same word, the brotherly love. And have believed that I came from God. You believed in me. The Father acknowledged that, has credited righteousness to you, and has brought you near. Loves you a special way because you loved me. You accepted me. You chose to follow me. You decided that this was right and the world was wrong. Therefore, the Father loves you a special way. Isn't it nice to hear that? We often hear the generalizations, God loves everybody. Well, this is something Jesus wanted to nail home. He loves you in a special way because you love his son. In Ephesians 1, verse 3, it says, Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every, how many spiritual blessings? What kind of spiritual blessings? Every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world. Can you understand? I can't even understand that. Before God created the world, he knew you. He knew you. He knew that you would be his child. Isn't that amazing? And people say God doesn't know what he's doing. Before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight. Now, how are we holy and blameless? We know that's not by our own merit. It's only by Christ. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. He knew this would happen. He foresaw that this would happen. He put everything in place so this would happen. And when we accepted Christ, he bestowed everything that he wanted to bestow upon us, because he saw it clearly before the foundations of the world. How deep the Father's love for us, that we should be called children of God. Verse 7, in him we have redemption. We've been purchased through that blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace, that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. That's the Spirit of God again. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. And I say amen. How about you, church? Wouldn't you like Jesus to take control of everything? The Father loves us in a special, tight-knit family relationship and gives us full rights as family because we love his son. That's why he loves us in a special way, because we love his son. We can study the word together. We can discover things that the world will never know. We have access to the throne room of God, and we can talk to him directly. We are promised an inheritance that we will share with his only begotten son. And Jesus takes great comfort, great pleasure in the thought that he will share his throne. He will share his inheritance. He will share all things with those who love him. Because the Father wants it that way. The Father who dishes out the inheritance. Yes, it's a very good thing to be part of the family of God. It's a very, very good thing. And some days, maybe that's not as obvious to you, but there will be a day when it'll be very obvious to all of us. Let me close with this. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it does not know Him. Dear friends, we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Are you looking forward to the day when Jesus returns? I am. I'm looking, oh, it's another election year. Great. Right? And I'm thinking, what's the point anymore? Well, take that tongue in cheek. When I see the direction the world is going, all I can think is, come, Lord Jesus, please come. Come and reign. Come and put an end to the enemy's dominion of darkness and bring in the era of wonderful light. Bring in the Father's will. Bring in everything that is good and wholesome and noble and pure. Lord God, take over. Take over. Let's reverse what happened in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve said, we want to be God. And let's say, Lord, you and you alone are God. Please be our God and be God of everything. Amen, church. Would you please stand with me? Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we are thankful, Lord, for your love, which is rich and deep and wonderful and beyond our comprehension. Your love is amazing. And Lord, we're thankful that there are things that we can discern and know for a certainty because you've given us your very mind, the Spirit of God. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us and loving us in a special way. Thank you, Lord, for taking away the darkness, the blindness that was in our hearts. Open the eyes of our heart, Lord. Enable us, Lord, to see what you see. And Lord God, we pray that those who are trapped in darkness might be set free. Lord God, work your wonderful will through us into other people's lives. If there are any who have not accepted Christ and would like to do so today, Lord, we pray that you would move within them, that you would draw themselves to you, that they would want to, with all of their hearts, lay down their burdens and have the truth set them free. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.